The whole Arabic language is made up of three parts. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what makes up the entire Arabic language. And one of those parts is asma, names and nouns. So we're going to look at the properties of the ism. Ism is a noun or a name, a thing or object, just like in English. So we're going to look at how to identify an ism. And then you may ask, okay, great, what's the purpose behind all that? I identify that this is a name, what does that do? So we're going to look at the purpose and role of the ism. Very important. So once you know this universal principle, you can apply it for years on end. Years on end. Whenever you look into the Quran and the Sunnah or anything to do with Arabic and you can identify an ism, a name, noun or a thing, then you apply the same principle. You apply the same principle. As for the Arabic language, the whole language, every single word in the Quran, in the Sunnah, in all the Arabic newspapers, magazines, Arabic cartoons, everything to do with Arabic is either one out of three. It can be split, the whole language, into three categories. A word is either one out of three. It's either an ism, and an ism we said is
a noun.
A name, correct, or a noun, or an object, meaning a thing, even an adjective. Say jamil, right, which means beautiful. Saghir, small. Tawil, tall, right? It's to name something. To name something. Or it could be a fa'al. So a fa'al is like jalasa, akala, shariba. What's a fa'al? A verb, a doing word. Correct. Just like English. It's an action. So it could be past tense, present tense, future tense. They all apply. Have I lost anyone yet? Okay, very easy so far, yes? A word in Arabic is either a name or a verb. Or if it doesn't fall into any of those two categories. Yeah, it's a harf. Harf. You could translate that as letter or a connective word. Sometimes it's a word itself. But on its own, it doesn't have any meaning. On its own, it doesn't have any meaning. The only way you can give it meaning is if you add it to another word. So you can call it a connective word or a supportive word or even a letter at times. Like for example, B in Bismillah. The B translated in. So if I just said to you, B, you say, B what? Well, it doesn't make any sense. If I said...
to say run as in action, it would make sense.
It would. So now we're talking about the third category. Harf. This harf is a word. So if it's not an ism, it's not a fa'al, it's not a name, it's not an action, then it'll be in this category, a harf. And when we said harf, it's very hard to translate, but by definition, it's something that does not make sense on its own.
It's like a preposition.
Yeah, that's right. And a preposition, however, is a type of harf, correct? Harfu jar, that's a type of harf, correct? MashaAllah. But I didn't want to use preposition because there are other types of haruf. There's other types. So harfu jar is one type. So it's by definition a letter or word that doesn't make sense on its own. MashaAllah. So alif is a harf, lam is a harf, mim is a harf. So you could say supportive or connective word or even letter. So an example would be the B in the name of Allah, Bismillah. Translated in. If I said ila, ila means to. Said ila and I walked away. Ila what? To where? And I think you should go to the hospital. You're not feeling right. So it doesn't make sense. To what? Ala means on. Ala what? At least if I gave you a name, I said Muhammad. Okay, perhaps he's talking about the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So That's the whole Arabic language summarized for you right there. Right there. Every single word in the Quran, in the Sunnah, open up the Mus'haf. Every single word there, you'll find it's one of three. One of three.
Could you please give some more examples in the Arabic of
I don't want to.
No, I don't.
Why? Because in the beginning, if I were to go deep into these other things, then I'm going to lose focus of today's objective. And that's why I think people, when they teach Arabic, it fails most of the time in Sydney, Australia, or in the West, because they delve into so many concepts and the person walks out of there and think, man, it's just too hard. Too many concepts, terminologies. But I'd rather hone your energies and preserve them. Then, there?
Was it this?
Bismillah. That's it. That's enough, because everyone knows what Bismillah is. So I'd rather preserve your energies right in the morning to just focus on what we're going to take today, which is this. So think of an Arabic language like, you know when a person wants to sculpture or carve out something from a block of ice? How do they carve out in the beginning? They just take off chunks, or is it?
They take off chunks.
Chunks. They don't start with fine-tuning, right? It's going to take you forever. So rather, they take off chunks. They're just giving you a general outlook. And then later on, they can fine-tune that sculpture or that statue. So likewise, in the beginning, I'm just going to give you the chunk, this general concept. And as we improve in the Arabic and you understand those bigger concepts, those chunks, then we can fine-tune and go into detail. Like yesterday, a lot of brothers, and don't feel bad, the brothers asked me also a lot of questions and I didn't answer them, I deflected them. I'm not answering that, I'm not answering this. What's the difference between Muslimin and Muslimun? I'm not going to answer. What's the difference between this and this? Because that's not the purpose, and other people are sitting there thinking, but I just want to, I want the objectives. So I don't want to take away your attention from and focus from what we're going to. And inshallah, in the future, we'll look at all those concepts. So as we said, it's a year and a half course. And as Az-Zuhri said, مَنْ رَامَ الْعِلْمَ جُمْلَ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ جُمْلَ. Whoever seeks knowledge in one go, will lose it in one go. Although your question is very important, but just so we don't get off track. So the whole Arabic language is made up of three categories. Name me one of them. Ism. What is an ism?
Noun.
Name, noun,
object,
or an adjective. Correct. Or it could be a fa'al. What's a fa'al? Verb. A command, right? Just like sit down, eat, drink. Correct. Or it's a harf, which is
a letter
or a word. That doesn't make sense on its own. So you could say it's a connective word. It connects with something else. Ahsantum. So let's focus on ism. And then in the upcoming weeks, we're going to do these, inshallah, the rest. So have I lost anyone yet?
No.
Okay, good. And you wanted me to answer all those other questions. Then I lost you 5 minutes ago. Ism. So let's just focus on this. Just think of this in English like a noun. A noun. So your name is an ism. A thing, a chair, is an ism. An adjective to describe someone, like beautiful, short, tall, big, large, they're all isms, right? In Arabic, it's called asma. The plural is asma. So the plural for ism is asma. So what are the properties? I ask, how do I identify an ism? There are many ways, but I'm going to limit it to five today. The scholar said, دخول التعريف. دخول التعريف. It accepts al in the beginning. Al is translated to what? Al.
The.
The, correct. So it takes the word the, or the, depending how you wish to say it. If a word accepts al, then no doubt it's an ism, it's a name, it's a thing. Give me an example.
Allah.
Allah, it's a name, no doubt. Allah, alif lam, alif lam. So if it accepts alif lam, al, translated as a the, al, then no doubt it is a name, al. What about Islam? Can you say al-Islam?
Yes.
You sure can. It's a name. Another
Arabic.
Example.
Al-Arabic.
Al-Arabiya, correct. Yeah. Al-Arabiya, perfect. What is this called in Arabic?
Al-Qalam.
Yeah, Qalam. So you can say Al-Qalam, the pen. You can apply it for anything. Al-Kursi, the chair. Al-Bab. What about Surah? A Surah from the Quran. As-Surah, you can say. What about Al-Baqarah? That's the cow, so a cow is a thing. So if you can add, you can place Al at the beginning of it, no doubt it's a name. Secondly, that's at the beginning. If it can't accept Al in the beginning, then look towards the end. It takes tanween. يَقْبَلُ التَّنْوِين. It accepts tanween. I'll explain what that is in a moment. We said tanween is where? Beginning or end? End. So we looked at the beginning of the word, al, now look at the end of the word. Tanween is a double vowel. So the double dhamma or the double fatha or the double kasra. And what the double dhamma does, it gives you the sound of un. So at the end, if it sounds like un, then it's tanween. Or an or in. Good. So if you have that at the end of the word, then it's also a name, the tanween. I'll give you a clear example. In the shahada, you say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So, مُحَمَّدًا, مُحَمَّدٌ, مُحَمَّدٍ. So those are all, that's of course, it's a name because it accepts tanween. So if a word accepts tanween at the end, and you look in the mushaf, you'll pick it up so many times. Open any mushaf, any page. You find so many words that have a double vowel, double vowel. Ayyamin, correct, perfect. Azimin, correct. Azimin, in, correct. Now, rule of thumb, a word will never have al and tanween in the same time. Never have al and tanween at the same time. So if it's al-Islam, it will never be al-Islamun, never. It'll be al-Islamu. It'll never be al-Islamun.
Is this for the Quran?
No, Arabic. This is how it is. This is how it is. A word in Arabic, if it's a name, it'll never have both at the same time. Impossible. Impossible. So either have al or that. So you want to say al-Islamun, wrong. It's either al-Islamu or Islamun. As-Salam. You never say assalamun alaikum, that's wrong. You say assalamu alaikum. Like you all know assalamu alaikum. Or sometimes you might hear someone say salamun alaikum. You see, so it'll either be al or tanween. Now, if you don't find an al or you don't find tanween at the end, it doesn't mean it's not an ism. It can have other properties, other ways to identify it. And as long as you find one of these, then it's a name, it's a noun. It doesn't have to have all five at the same time. We even just said, you never have al and tanween at the same word, at the same time, ever. So the scholar said, another property, another way to identify a name, they said, an yakuna munada. Nada, in Arabic, it's nada mean. Nida, to call. So you can call it. You can call it. An yakuna munada. And usually that's done in the Arabic by saying, ya. Ya,
ya fulan.
Fulan, ahsanti. Oh, so and so. Ya fulana, for the female. Ya, another example. Ya ayuha alladhina amanu, correct. So alladhina is ism. It's called ismul mawsool.
Ya Allah.
Ya Allah, perfect. Whatever comes after, if you can call it. What do you want to call your sister? Ya?
Ukhti.
Ya ukhti. Ya ukhti. So ukht is a name. Ya? Ya Ahl al-Kitab, perfect. Ahl, it's a name. Ya Akhi, Ya Shaykh, right, take it easy on us. Ya Imam, slow down in the prayer. Ya Bunayya, perfect. Oh my small baby boy, my Habibi. Ya Bunayya, Ya Abati, my dear father. So Ya you can call it. Ya Aba Bakr. So there's many examples. Ya Muslimun, perfect. Ya Muslimun, Ya Mu'minun. But what about if it's used for dua? Ya Laytani Kuntu Turaba. No, because it's not for calling. Ya Laytani, Ya Laytani Kuntu Turaba, I wish I was destroyed. When a person says it in a state of remorse, instead of humiliation, I wish I was dead, I wish I was dust. Ya Laytani, no, that's not, now we said it's not used for calling. You're not calling upon yourself. You're really making dua due to remorse and so forth. So when you can call it, so Ya Akhi, Ya Ukhti, Ya Allah, Ya Ayyuhal Ladheena Amanu, you hear this constantly in the Quran? So one way to identify a name is, it has in the beginning?
Yeah.
Al, like Al-Islam, Al-Kitab. Correct. Second way we said? It takes tanween at the end of the word. Give me an example. What does it sound like? It can sound like un, in, an. Abdan, abdun. Correct. Where do you find that? In the shahada. Wa ashhadu anna muhammadan. Anna muhammadan. Or it takes the ya of calling, ya al-munada. Give me an example. Ya ahl al-kitab, ya. Ya Allah. What about ya laytani? No, because that's, we said it's not to call. Correct. Four. Number four. Lahu jama', it has a plural. If a word has a plural, then 100% it's an ism. It's a name. It's a noun. It's a thing. It has a plural. Give me a word that has a plural. What's the plural for qalam? Aqlam. Correct. What's the plural for muslim? Muslimun.
Or muslimin.
That's a plural. Therefore, we know the word muslim is a name. Muslimin is a name. Mu'min. What's the plural of mu'min? Mu'minun and mu'minin. Correct. So if a word has a plural, 100% it's a name. It's a name. Kitab, plural for kitab is?
Kutub,
perfect. The plural for saliha? Salihat. Muslima? Muslimat. Qanita? Qanitat, etc. Yeah, so usually for a feminine word, if it has ta' marbuta, and we're going to take a whole lesson on that, you remove the ta' marbuta and you add alif wa ta'. Saliha, salihat. Muslima, muslimat. Taliba, talibat. Correct. So if it has a plural 100%, it's a name, it's a noun, it's a thing. So what about surah, a surah from the Quran? Does it have plural? Suwar. What about ayah? Ayat. Correct. So they're all, no doubt, asma, names. Number five, last one. An yusaghar. An yusaghar. Yusbih saghiran. It can be shrunk. It can be shrunk. If a word can be shrunk, it's a name. It's an ism. And we'll have a whole lesson in this later, the power of letters. A single letter can make a word grow, it can make, or it can make a word shrink. SubhanAllah, one letter, one letter. Sometimes you have a word, Omar, and you can shrink it to mean Omar Jr. What is it? Na'am. Umayd. There's, I'll show you. There's something in Arabic called Ya'at Tazghir. It's the Ya' that shrinks a word. When you insert it in the middle of a word, it produces Umayr. Is that Ya'? So in Arabic, there's the Ya' there. So Umar doesn't have the Ya'. So you insert it there. Umayr. Umayr means small Umar. We're not talking about shrinking in terms of the number of letters. It actually increased letters. Talking about the reality of that thing. So, Umay literally means small Umar. Umar Jr. Umar Jr. I know a brother named Umar. He's called his son Umayr. Umar Jr. His name's Umar, he called his son Umayr. Umar Jr.
So, in English, it's Umar Jr.
Yeah, you could say that. If you're going to translate it, yeah. Umay literally means Umar Jr. A small Umar. Mini. Mini. No. Correct. Another word is a qirsh. A qirsh is
a big shark.
A shark. That's right. Qirsh is a shark. So a mini shark at the ya of tasghir in it becomes Quraysh. Right? You don't have to remember all these words, but just understand the concept. As long as a word can be shrunk, then 100% it's a name. So Qirsh, Quraysh, Umar, Umair, Tifl, Tufail. Young little boy is a Tufail. Suhail and Sughair. Good. There's Suhail from Sahal. Suhail and there's Sughair. Perfect. There's Kitab, which is a book. Kutayyib. That ya is inserted. Kutayyib. And Asad is a line. And Usaid is a small line. So you can apply that to many words, but not every single word. For example, you can't do it for the name of Allah. And that's, of course, that's not allowed. That's mockery. And Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, doesn't accept such insults. So those are five properties. There are more, but those are among the most popular properties. How to identify a name. So what was the first we said?
Alif Lam.
It accepts Alif Lam, correct. Al-Islam, Al-Muslim. Or?
Tanween.
Tanween at the end, correct. Or?
Ya.
Ya, you can use Ya to call someone, like Ya Akhi, Ya Ukhti. Next.
Has a plural.
Give me a word that has a plural. Kuffar, perfect. Kafir, Kuffar. What about Nabi, Prophet?
Anbiya,
perfect. That's another name. Or, number five?
It can be shrunk.
It can be shrunk. A word can be shrunk, literally. And we said not literally in the number of letters, but in the meaning. Yes.
It can only be shrunk by an ya, or is there other things?
There are other ways, but we'll dedicate that later, inshallah. So that was just one way. Bismillah. Okay, good. Does anyone need what's on the board? Sure. So you may say, great, I understand this is a word, it's a name. It's an ism. What does that do for me? So that's what we're going to look at now, we'll end there. So what's the purpose of the ism? So if you're doing titles, this is your next title. Purpose of the ism. What's the role of it? Has many functions. Among them, the ulama said, يَدُلُّ عَلَى الثَّبَاتِ الْإِسْمِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الثَّبَاتِ. It indicates a constant nature. In other words, it's more permanent. As opposed to a verb, which is temporary. If I said I ran yesterday, I went for a jog, does that mean I'm going to run today? No. Does it mean I'm going to run tomorrow? No, a verb is temporary. Tafaddali. Whereas an ism, he's a runner. It's a name, title. Means he's constantly running. It's more of a permanent nature. So that's how the ism is different from the verb. So it's a constant nature. It's permanent. It's not temporary. And also, يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ Repetition. It indicates repetition. Always happening, constantly. I'll write it for you in Arabic, yes. Al-ism. Al-ism. Yadullu ala al-thabat wal-istimrar wa-dhatihi. It's essence. And indicates the essence of something. It's become part of the essence. Its core nature. Part and parcel of its nature, you could say. Good, so this is the crux of the lesson, Marita, just in time. I've identified it's a name. What does that do for me? Well, names indicate it's a constant nature. It's always happening. It's permanent. It's not temporary, like a verb. We gave the example of a runner. If I told you, Marita, I ran yesterday, does that mean I'm going to run today?
No.
No, what about tomorrow?
You told me lies too.
What is that? But a runner, he's got the name and title of runner, he's always running. That's his job. So it indicates repetition. And it indicates it's the essence and part of something's nature. So for example, Ar-Rahman. Is that a name or not?
Yes.
It sure is. How do we identify? Al. Al. The. We said we could put Al-Tarif. So because it's a name, it indicates Rahma is part of Allah's essence. It's part of His nature. Allah. Ar-Rahman, Rahma is part of his essence, subhanAllah. In other words, Allah always was, always is, always will be merciful. Always. Always was, always is, always will be. SubhanAllah. It indicates a more permanent nature of something. As opposed to some of Allah's attributes. Some of Allah's attributes, like Allah will get angry on the Day of Judgment. But that's a verb. Yaghdab. It's a verb. So it doesn't indicate permanent. It doesn't indicate a permanent nature. In other words, Allah is not always like that. It's only at set times. That's why Allah's names, none of them deal with Al-Mu'adhib, the punisher. Al-Ghadib, right, the angry one. No. All of Allah's names, because they're names, they deal with a constant nature, the essence of Allah. And therefore, none of His names deal with the punisher or the angry one or anything negative, subhanAllah. None. And we challenge any non-Muslim to find a name of Allah that is actually negative. None of them. They're all positive and they're all lofty. And that's why the kuffar, they say, oh, your God is a God of vengeance. And that, well, if that's the case, show me one name that deals with that. One name that's negative. And we said their verbs, they're temporary. Allah will get angry on the Day of Judgment, no doubt. Allah will punish some people, no doubt. But it's not a constant thing. Whereas it's part of Allah's constant nature to be merciful. At-Tawwab, forgiving. Al-Ghafoor, also. Al-Afu, the one who wipes sins clean from your record. Doesn't just cover them up, but he wipes them clean. Al-Qawi, he's always been, always is, and always will be Al-Qawi, the most strong, the most mighty, the most powerful. So once again, that's what the name gives you. So you understand now, that's the purpose of it. It gives you a totally different outlook on that word in the Qur'an, or in the Sunnah, or in the Hadith. Different approach altogether. And thus we'll end there. And next week, inshallah, I'm going to give you examples. So you may say, okay, great, you've given me one example, Ar-Rahman, give me more. Next week, I'm going to give you more examples where you find names and what that does. And it gives you a totally different meaning as opposed to the English translation. So for example, we're going to look at Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah is a name because of Al, yes? Alhamd. It's different from Ahmadullah, I praise, or Nahmadullah, we praise. They're verbs. We said verbs are they permanent or temporary?
Temporary.
Did we always exist? No. Are we always going to exist?
No.
You say, I praise and we praise. We're not always going to praise. But Alhamd means it's constant. Allah always was praised, always is praised, always will be deserving of praise. It's Alhamd. It's constant. Allah is always deserving of hamd, of praise. That's the difference between the name and the verb. And we're going to give more examples next week, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك